Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Salt Lake City is taking a stand against electronic billboards. The city council just passed a ban on any new e-billboards in the city with the support of Mayor Ralph Becker. And that has spurred the wrath not just of advertising companies like Reagan and Yesco, but the Utah Attorney General's office and the President of the Utah Senate. Is the potential fight worth it? Joining me in the studio now for his monthly visit is Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. Mayor, always good to have you.
Thank you, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
Listeners, give us a call with your questions and comments for Mayor Becker at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Well, Mayor, when and why did you decide that e-billboards in Salt Lake City have to go?
Well, I don't think it was so much saying that they have to go as saying that we are seeing them starting to spring up around the city, mm-hmm. And we have had no standards for where they should be, under what conditions they should operate, and what the effects are on the motoring public and on the surrounding neighborhoods and communities. So because we were seeing them starting to develop, mm-hmm. we were seeing them also proposals for a lot more, we said, look, we've got to get some standards in place. And the best way for us to make sure they don't appear to a degree and in places we don't want them or under the circumstances we don't want them is to ban billboards for now while we're developing those standards. So that's the action that the council unanimously took. And in my view, as you know, and certainly I've expressed before and for a long time, billboards are certainly part of our community, mm-hmm. but they severely degrade the visual quality of our community. We've got a beautiful skyline. Mm-hmm. We've got the most beautiful setting of any city in the country. And you know, I notice, for example, when you come into this city that we don't advertise billboards as our visual setting. We advertise this wonderful landscape we live in. And billboards diminish that. And electronic billboards present a whole new impact and level of impact on that visual quality and really create additional visual blight as well as public safety effects. And my desire would be to minimize that and to reduce the effect that it has on the quality of our city.
So are you finding that billboard companies have powerful lobbyists?
Well, as you know, Jeff, I spent 11 years in the legislature, and from the very first year I was in the legislature, I found myself at odds with billboards and with the outdoor advertising industry. What they have created in state law is akin to the level of complexity of what you see in the tax codes. There is probably more lines of state legislation devoted to how the state allows billboards to override local government and to give special preference and priority to billboards in this state than any other property owner or business. And I find that to be objectionable from the perspective of local control, and I find it to be not a good representation of the way government should operate in terms of giving special interests an authority that goes beyond what anyone else in the community would get.
So is this ban then something you really do see as temporary, or if you could, would you go as far as to try and get rid of not just the e-billboards, but all of them within the city's borders?
Well, I think there are probably appropriate sites and locations and circumstances for billboards. But when we say billboards are more important than trees, which we currently say under state law, when we say billboards can achieve a size and a height that rules out our views and dominates our views of our community and of our skyline, when we have no control over how billboards are placed in a way that affects the public safety on our roads, at those points, I think it's time for us as a community to be able to say no. We don't want billboards. We don't want billboards in these locations and under these circumstances. And right now, under state law, because the state has basically given billboard companies more power than local governments, we don't have that flexibility and that authority.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. You can join us on the air, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. The Attorney General's office has come out against the ban because e-billboards are used to display Amber Alerts. What do you think of their comments? Are they valid?
Well, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen the Attorney General show up for a local government hearing in Salt Lake City Council to express a view about a subject that we were handling. So it's odd to me that they would show up for this. Amber Alerts are incredibly important in our community to be able to alert people to some potential illegal activity and notify people of who we're looking for. And billboards can certainly play a role in that. We have a lot of ways of giving notice to people. We can do it over the radio, over KCPW, which you do regularly. We can do it through the social media.
Right.
And it can be done with billboards. So to me, sure, we want to be able to make sure we get those Amber Alerts out well. We want to take full advantage of all the media that we have available to us. But that doesn't mean that billboards should be located everywhere and we should give free rein to billboards throughout our community.
So will you stand firm against Senate President Michael Waddup's pretty much threat that the legislature will overturn this?
Well, I certainly will welcome the state legislature taking a look at what we do and how we do it. And, mm-hmm. and between now and I suspect the next legislative session, if the council and I are able to move forward with the review of appropriate standards for billboards and electronic billboards in particular, we'll take some action. And all we ask for from the legislature is that we'll consult with them as we develop our standards, that they respect our local community and our desire to have the kind of community we want and promote certainly business within our community, but not to degrade our community. And we'll work with our legislature to try to achieve that.
Mayor Unbecker, you just unveiled the city's new HOST program, which stands for Homeless Outreach Service Team. How is this going to connect the homeless in Salt Lake City with services in the area they might not be using right now?
Well, as you know, Jeff, several months ago, after more than a year, we had been working on an ordinance to try to address the most egregious forms of panhandling,
right.
aggressive panhandling, where people's walking up and down the street was impeded, where people were prevented or felt threatened going in and out of businesses because panhandling had, you know, had for some folks had gotten quite extreme. And after the council decided not to adopt an ordinance, but still wanted to move forward with something. With our police department under Chief Burbank and Lieutenant, we went to work on what other things could we do.
Mm-hmm.
This HOST program is an outgrowth of that. And what we're asking our community to do is we recognize that panhandling is allowed, and that was, by the way, it continued to be allowed under the ordinance we are looking at as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to do is to give people an option for a constructive way to give money to people who are homeless or in need for food or other needs that they have. And in looking around at some things that have been done in other parts of the country, setting up meters where people who feel the need because they're people who are panhandling and they want to be able to give, but they want to be able to give in a way to make sure it's going to really helping those people in terms of providing those basic necessities, have a way to support financially people who are in need in our community. So we're starting to set up these meters. They're very obvious. They're not like our other parking meters.
Mm-hmm.
And asking people, you know, plug a meter, provide some change for a real change in people's lives. And I think it's an exciting proposition, a great alternative. And with that, at the same time, our police and the service providers are going to be working, as well as the businesses downtown, are really going to be working to try to help provide and direct people towards the services. And so our police, for example, have gone through a whole series of new trainings mm-hmm. to interact with folks and to help really try to provide a helpful service to folks who are in need and who are panhandling, where our businesses are already putting up notices about please give money through this host program and plug those meters with some change and with a change for change. And I think we're hopeful it's going to make a difference for people who are visiting our community and residents in our community to feel like they have a new outlet for providing some money to people who are in need without having and feeling in some cases even threatened to give money to panhandlers. So we'll see how this works. It's a pilot program we're doing in downtown, and if it's successful, which obviously we hope it will be, we're going to be hopefully spreading it throughout the valley.
And Mayor Becker, we'll come back to this in just a second, but first, Constance is on the line with a question for you. Constance, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about, you speak of degrading neighborhoods and spoiling our beautiful skyline and the setting of our city, and yet Sunnyside Avenue, used to be Sunnyside, is now dominated by gigantic power towers. There's something coming into the Sunnyside Park as well, mm-hmm. and new construction there. What about that? What about that magnificent view that has been degraded? And are those power towers indeed more important than trees?
Well, the whole issue on 8th South, which becomes Sunnyside Avenue above 13th East, has been an enormous challenge for the city. Rocky Mountain Power, who are responsible for providing power in our city, came to the city a number of years ago and said they had to upgrade that line to have a larger transmission system to serve both the neighborhoods and our increase in electricity use in those neighborhoods on the east side, as well as the university, and came to us with proposals that we found horribly objectionable. The city fought the power company, it's fair to say, on the development of those enormous transmission lines and power poles the way that they were designed. The power company came back and made some relatively minor changes to the design of those power poles, but they are a gross eyesore. Along 8th South and up Sunnyside, and I think even the power company would acknowledge in looking at the effect of what they've done there, and they needed to upgrade their power. There's no question about that. But they certainly, I think, fully agree that those monstrous power poles are really a visual blight on the neighborhood and probably did not need to be as dominating as they are in our landscape.
So will anything be done about it?
Well, I don't think anything's going to be done, unfortunately, about those power poles. They did some things. I've got to, you know, in without completely indicating how unhappy we were with Rocky Mountain Power on that, because we certainly were. They did some things like move those power poles more into the street. They were going to be encroaching literally on some people's property. Mm-hmm. They helped make some improvements in the street associated with some of the visual quality and safety things in the street. They changed the color of the power poles. I think in some cases they reduced the size of the power poles. But they still are enormous and a real unfortunate visual effect. Part of the problem we have here is not just Sunnyside. When someone is building a new portion of the community, they underground the power lines. It's a pretty normal practice. Mm-hmm. In a place like Salt Lake City, where we've had, obviously, power lines going back well over a century, going throughout our community, they were all developed above ground, and we look to underground our lines as we have an opportunity in a rebuilding streets. The power company's view is that is not a cost to be borne by the power company and by the ratepayers and shareholders of the power company. And unfortunately for us, the state law supports that notion. We've made proposals with other cities and towns and to the legislature that be changed so that as we rebuild our streets, we can underground these power lines. We're doing that in some places, but the city is paying for it. For example, as we're rebuilding North Temple, mm-hmm. we're undergrounding those power lines along North Temple, but it is very expensive. And if we're not successful in getting the legislature to help us in terms of incorporating those into the rate base for the utility companies, we have been proposing a mechanism for us as a city to not be able to underground all of our power lines at once. It would be much too expensive, but for us to be able to find a way to pay over time to underground some of our power lines. Those large transmission lines we see going up 8 South and Sunnyside are major, large power lines that then get distributed in through smaller power lines to residents and to businesses throughout that corridor. And those are particularly troublesome both in terms of their impact but also in terms of the cost of undergrounding those lines. But we're going to continue to work on that, and hopefully we'll be able to see some improvements.
Constance, we appreciate your call very much. You can still join us on the air at 801-355-8255. Going back to the host program, Mayor Becker, the Homeless Outreach Service Team, does rolling out this new program mean that you are not pursuing the anti-aggressive panhandling ordinance anymore? Was it just too controversial?
Well, it wasn't so much a case of controversy. And our council, in a close vote in saying, well, we're not going to pursue that ordinance, did say they wanted to pursue other measures. We took it upon ourselves administratively to pursue this host program. We, as I said, we got the service providers and the homeless population itself and businesses to come together with the city to come up with this program. There may still be some desirable or agreed upon ordinance changes that can help us, and the council has committed that they're going to continue to look at that, and we'll be happy to look at it with them. But we gave as good a shot as I think we could at trying to develop an ordinance that balanced out the need for people to be able to have free expression in our public ways, which we want. The recognizing panhandling as part of our community and not prohibiting panhandling, but just to try to address the practices that really create the most difficulty for people that tend to be a bit abusive. And you know, I think we're going to continue to look at that, and if there are some ordinance changes that will help with that, we'll look at it probably in a favorable light, as long as it's balanced with freedom of speech and privacy concerns, and in a way that does not prohibit panhandling per se, but just just practices that are so bothersome.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. Mayor, let's spend the last few minutes we have here talking about the leadership situation at the Salt Lake City Library. Now, I should disclose that to our listeners who aren't aware, KCBW is located right here at the Salt Lake City Main Library and has been a good partner with the library for many years now. The library board has renewed Director Beth Elder's contract for the next year, but the outcry against her leadership from library employees has definitely become very loud and clear, with the March board meeting turning into a long list of complaints from library employees against her. What do you make of this situation?
Well, in many respects, unfortunately, this is a continuation of what we've seen over the last few months. And I still haven't gotten a report yet. I know you all were at the meeting and gave a brief report, and there's something in the paper this morning of what happened at the library board meeting yesterday. The City Council and I have both expressed our continuing support for Beth Elder. The Library Board hired Beth Elder, and the Selection Committee hired Beth Elder several months, well, it was over a year ago now. She's very capable. She's very experienced. She's highly regarded within her field. And she has, I think, brought in many respects the library forward. For example, the development of two new branches in Glendale and in the West Capitol Hill area are processes that have been moving along, and I think moving along well. So it's difficult for anyone new to come into a very established institution. The library and system within Salt Lake City is highly independent of the city. We certainly have a role in appointing the board members, and after that, it's pretty much left to the library board for them to administer the library, subject to their budgets being approved by the city council and giving us a chance to weigh in at that point. But my hope and expectation really is that the board continue to do their job well. And to the extent that they need some additional help and how to conduct their meetings, and I am not privy to what may have happened last night beyond what I saw in the media, But if they need some help, we expect all of our boards to engage the public well, to involve the public well, to treat everyone with civility, either as members of the board or the public or those appearing before the board. And if they need some help in learning best practices and good practices as a city, we'd be happy to provide that assistance to them.
But as far as the, you talked about the city council passing a resolution in support of Beth Elder. You said she has your support. What about the concerns of the library employees? I mean, are you ignoring them or what?
Well, I've actually met with some library employees, and I take the time when I'm going to various libraries around the city to ask employees what they think. Now, I recognize when the mayor comes and asks an employee something, they don't always get as straight a response as I would like. But I'm trying to listen well, and I hope that Beth Elder and the board are listening well. There have obviously been some challenges within library employees towards Beth Elder as a director.
Mm-hmm.
But the library has been in a fairly static condition in terms of its employees and organization for many, many years. After Beth Elder was in the job for a while, she decided to go through a reorganization, which she both has the right and the authority to do, and to try to shape the organization in a way that she thinks best meets the needs of the library system and the community. And based on what I know and I think what the council knows, she's been trying to work through those things. And it creates some unhappy employees like any change does, and we all know that in any organization that we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly say from my vantage point, from what I've seen and heard, that the employees want to get past the controversy that's been generated and want the library to be able to be function without all of this controversy around it.
Well, some of them just want to see her go, period.
Right. And unfortunately, I think that's probably been true from the day she walked in the door, and it's been because there were some employees who applied for the job who didn't get it. And there are employees who are resistant to change. And there may also be some very legitimate things. I think Beth Elder herself has said, well, there's some things she wishes she could have handled differently and maybe a little bit better. So, you know, as I said, I'm a bit distant. The library board and the library system is a very independent system within Salt Lake City government, and I'm going to continue to try to support that both that independence and try to be helpful in the way of good practices within the library system and management. And I wish Beth well, and I support her. I think she's clearly very capable of doing her job. And she's got to work through some things within the library organization, and I want to give her that chance, and obviously the city council wants to give her that chance to work through that.
We've been speaking with Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker. Mayor, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Good to be with you.
We'll be right back.